In Father Teresa's Wine Cellar, we believe all oppression is intersectional. And this means our analysis of current events frequently includes discussion of difficult and explicit content. Any combination of the following topics could be included in our show: murder, rape, war, climate change, racism, sexism, violence, sexual violence, homophobic violence, heterocentrism, discrimination and abuse against individuals of nonconformist sexuality, domestic violence, child abuse, child rape, child neglect, elderly abuse, verbal abuse, police brutality, microaggressions, ableism, cyberbullying, genital mutilation, ideological extremism, and people just being total fucking assholes.
You're very beautiful.
I know.
Why do you smell so good?
Because I don't use deodorant and I only take bubble baths.
I support gays, even though I myself am not actually gay!
I'll give you until I finish my cuppa, and I'm fucking thirsty.
All right. Let's see what we have here. Oh, right. Ed Buck. Now, I hope everyone remembers that name, because I know we covered this last year. Ed Buck is a very wealthy man who is part of the gay community. White man, should also specify, who is also apparently a millionaire and just gives tons of money to various Democratic candidates.
Yes. Yeah.
He also has a fetish for killing black people. Apparently.
Nah.
Nah?
No, he likes when they get found there.
Right. Oh, right. He doesn't... Yeah. Right. He's paying someone to bring dead people into his house and saying, I don't know what happened.
It's third-party hide-and-seek.
Third-party hide-and-seek.
Yeah. See, all that's right. The real third party.
Early last Monday, a man died at the West Hollywood home of prominent Democratic donor Ed Buck. His attorney confirmed. The victim hasn't been identified yet. He has been identified since this came out. I will find his name. But according to sources, the man was identified as African-American. Attorney Seymour Amster said the unidentified victim was a, quote, longtime friend of Buck, and the two had known each other for 25 years. Amster said the victim, quote, reached out for help on Sunday night and then began acting in a bizarre way. That's a direct quote, acting in a bizarre way, after he arrived at Buck's apartment. According to Amster, he said, from what I know, it was an old friend who died of an accidental overdose, and unfortunately, we believe the substance he ingested was ingested someplace other than the apartment.
And his name is Timothy Dean, and he's 55.
Yes. Well, they've known each other 25 years.
Yeah, but the picture's up there. Like, look at how we age.
Yeah, I know.
What the fuck? I thought he was, like, fucking 21.
Yeah, no. No. So this is what they're going with, right? My friend of 25 years called me and asked for help, showed up high, and then just fell over and died from an overdose.
Yeah, that's what Negroes do. We make it to the age of 55 and say it's overdosing time. Right. Let me find a rich white man.
And go die in his house. I just want to die somewhere luxurious. All right. Buck, who is a well-known figure in the Democratic political circles, has given more than $500,000 to a range of Democratic groups and candidates, including former President Barack Obama, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, and Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti. In July of last year, prosecutors declined to file charges against Buck in the death of Jamel Moore, a black male escort whose body was found in Buck's apartment. It's almost like we've been here before. According to a coroner's report, Buck's apartment was full of drug paraphernalia, including 24 syringes, including brown residue, 5 glass pipes with white residue and burn marks, and a plastic straw with possible white residue, clear plastic bags with a white powdery residue, and a clear plastic bag containing a piece of crystal-like substance.
Yeah, so he likes freeze-dried mayonnaise. That doesn't mean Negroes are not doing drugs and then dying there.
Freeze-dried mayonnaise. That's what was in the glass pipes. He smokes mayonnaise.
I've heard about this guy.
You are the god-dang whitest person I've ever seen.
Okay? Mm-hmm. I've heard about this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Yeah, okay. Moore's death was initially ruled an accidental methamphetamine overdose, but the Los Angeles County's coroner's office reopened the investigation after writings in Moore's journal implicated Buck in his drug use. A December 2016 entry... Hold on, let me see here. Hold on.
Yeah?
Hold on. So he died in July. So in December, about 6-7 months before he died, he was writing in his journal, "I've become addicted to drugs, and the worst one at that. Ed Buck is the one to thank. He gave me the first injection of crystal meth. It was painful, but after all the troubles, I still became addicted. If it didn't hurt so bad, I'd kill myself, but I'll let Ed Buck do it for now."
That's fucking heavy-handed.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Mm-hmm. That's very interesting Democrat fan fiction from Negroes that just like to die at his house.
It is very interesting fan fiction. And so despite reading that, though, they never officially charged him. So, yeah, all right.
Well, no, what you going to charge him for? He donates. You don't charge him. They're donations.
They're donations.
All right. Jesus Christ, Chief.
Charge the donations.
Politics is weird.
My bad.
And creepy. And now I know lacks even the loosest attachment to anything like reality.
Community activists like Jasmine Kanick have accused Los Angeles officials of declining to prosecute Buck in 2017 thanks to his contributions to powerful politicians such as not only, Hillary Clinton, California Governor Jerry Brown at the time, L.A. Mayor Eric Garcetti, and numerous other West Hollywood Council city members. Kanick is organizing a vigil and rally tonight in front of Buck's home at 1234 Laurel Avenue. Just in case anyone wanted to know where he lived, it's 1234 Laurel Avenue, in case anyone wanted to know.
Yeah.
I'm just letting people know.
Yeah, I think there are some people whose names are Fa, and they tend to be aunties and uncles and aunties and named Fa.
Mm-hmm.
Jews.
Yes. This is back to the lawyer, Amster. This was an accidental overdose that Ed Buck had nothing to do with, and it's a tragedy. He said... after prosecutors declined to file charges. However, when Moore's death was classified as an accidental overdose, numerous gay black men have alleged Buck has a fetish for shooting drugs into black men that he picks up off the streets or on hookup sites. Yeah.
He's kind of trying to redefine money shot. This fucking guy is out there, man.
So he hasn't been arrested yet, though. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, apparently he fucking kind of owns the city.
Yeah, well, he put all the council members on, so...
Yeah.
Yeah. Shit. I don't know, man.
That's fucking out there. WineCellarMedia.com. Come and get your good news.
I'm just going to point out that for all this, y'all just trying to take down the black man by talking about R. Kelly. Y'all don't care about when black men are abused. Y'all niggas going to get on this fucking story? Oh, wait. No, you're not, because it's gay men.
Well,
just kidding.
Tariq Nasheed is posting about it, but that's only to stoke the homophobia of his crowd.
Moist niggas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what he's doing recently, this off topic, here comes the tangent, he's posting about the there was a white family that killed a black child in that city called Paradise, California. Mm-hmm. And climate change increased wildfires and this town of Paradise burned down, which, keep in mind, Paradise, it's not like it was Chicago or Seattle. Mm-hmm. It was a townsy little town. It's that fucking, like, you walk in the old saloon and, you know, throw down with Doc Holliday. We can't be friends anymore. Like, that's what Paradise was. It was little and it was pretty easy to burn down. And climate change did that. But Tariq Nasheed is telling his audience it's the spirit of Ogun.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, can you tell a brief breakdown? What the fuck? Because I don't even know. It's some African spirit thing.
Yeah, it's African deities. When you start getting into, like, Santeria and voodoo, you know, this is one of the deities. And it's just very masculine, very hetero, kind of god of war type of thing. Except the thing that irritates me in particular, which I think, I don't know if I've mentioned on the podcast, in particular about Tariq Nasheed going back to all these, like, voodoo deities, is that voodoo is one of the most accepting religions of the LGBTQ community and having women in leadership positions. So, like, literally nothing to do with what's going on with what Tariq is, how Tariq is trying to frame it, with Tariq's fucking homophobic, misogynistic, pimping ass. Yeah, Ogun would not approve of Tariq.
All right. Let that be known. WineCellarMedia.com. Come on, have a good time.
I was asking an existential question. How do you ever really know where you are?
Huh? Longitude and latitude?
No.
It's Free Thought Thursday in the wine cellar.
You already played the trigger warning, right?
Yep, it's loaded in. For the full episode, not for the individuals.
Good, because this is a fucked up ass story.
Trigger warning.
Yes.
For the individuals.
Yes. So a babysitter has been accused of killing an infant and trying to hide the death from the mother?
Yeah, were they disguised? How the fuck do you disguise life? Like, so, that's what I saw when I read the sub-headline on the outlet I saw.
Yes. Well, it explains it in the story. Yeah, this is fucking... So a Wisconsin babysitter who allegedly killed a two-month-old boy, then pretended he was alive when she gave the boy back to his mother, has since been charged with first-degree intentional homicide. A criminal complaint was filed Friday and said 28-year-old Melissa Tightsort of Wausau caused the infant's death in October, and this is how. Then put him in a snowsuit and put his hat down low over his eyes and returned him to a mother without telling him the child was dead. So yeah, so basically she bundled him up, put him in the car seat, put the hat on him and said, oh, he's sleeping, and just put him in the car.
Which people with the, I assume folks with babies tend to like, I don't give a fuck if he's sleeping, I want to see his face because that's my fucking baby.
Well, it wasn't all the way down over his face, it was just kind of low so you couldn't see his eyes, like fully.
Yeah, but aren't you going to see blue lips? She didn't think this one through.
It's a whole thing, man. Alright, so she gave the baby back to the mother without telling her that her child was dead. Authorities found the mother trying to revive the boy, but he had died hours earlier from blunt force trauma from multiple head impacts.
What the fuck?
Right.
Like, why babysit if that's who you are?
Nigga, I have a lot of questions. During a court appearance on Friday, Judge Jill Fasted issued a $500,000 cash bond for Tightsort, and ordered that she have no contact with children or the victim's family, according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Tightsword, who is pregnant with her sixth child.
Wait, the person that, the killer?
Yep.
Is pregnant with a sixth one of her own, but killed someone else's already.
Yep.
And Phoenix and William are fighting for custody.
Yep.
All right. Good. Things are making sense now.
Everything makes sense. So she's pregnant with her sixth child. He's also currently facing abuse charges for an incident involving an 11-month-old girl in her care. That charge stems from an August incident. So she killed a baby in October. She abused an 11-month-old girl in August and then killed a baby, a 2-month-old baby in October. Mm-hmm. Okay. According to the criminal complaint, the mother of the 2-month-old boy dropped him off and his older brother off at Tietzort's home on October 18th. About 2 hours later, the baby's mother got a text from Tietzort letting her know that there was a story about her on the local news saying she'd been charged with child abuse. Tietzort then told the mother she was not allowed to be in contact with children and not to tell anyone that she was watching her sons.
This is fucking rowdy. I seriously just read the headline and saved it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we glance at a story, we'll know what's going on. But I did not know any of this shit.
Yeah, so could you imagine? So you have two kids, you drop them off with a babysitter, and then halfway through your work shift, she calls you and says, there's a news story about me abusing kids and I'm not supposed to have kids. Don't tell anyone I have your kids. What the fuck, man?
Now, why is the news story at you before the fucking hashtag good cops? Best and the brightest. Man. They're out there solving the crimes, buddy.
So then the mother came up to pick up her sons about 3 hours later, according to the complaint. When the victim's mother came to pick up the infant and older son, the infant was seated in his car seat wearing a snowsuit with his hat pulled down over his eyes. The mother told police that she believed her son was sleeping because it was past 9 p.m. The boy's mother later realized her son was not breathing and he was cold and stiff. Officers arrived to find the boy had an ashen tone, his jaw was clenched, and his lips were blue, as you said. Tietzort told the police that she didn't kill the baby, but did know he was dead when she gave him back to the mother.
Oh, it wasn't me. It was the blunt force trauma, you see?
When her boyfriend got home that evening, they then went to McDonald's, and she brought the dead baby with them.
Somehow McDonald's made its way into the story.
Yes.
Somehow.
Fucking Americana, nigga.
Wow.
Americana. So she has the dead baby. Her and her boyfriend put the baby in the car, go to McDonald's. After she gave the boy back to his mother, Tietzert, her boyfriend, and their son went to a local hotel to go swimming.
Oh, Jesus fucking Christ.
There's a lot fucking happening.
What the fuck? I remember some shit like that. I think this was actually like before I was even podcasting. Like some white man had killed a black man and then like fucking... like went for a drive or some shit. You know, like went to the movies, I think was actually it. Like went to the movies or killed his wife and went to the movies. Like just chilled out and then actually called the police. Like, oh yeah, we got, I don't know, someone died or whatever.
Okay. And then of course I have, this is on winecellarmedia.com. I have the hyperlink in the story. And if you click it, this is goes to the journal Sentinel, and it has the timeline of her fucking child abuse charges.
Oh, because
it's a timeline. Okay? So, yeah. So, this is Marissa Tightsort. Also, it has her picture. She looks relatively white. Pregnant with her sixth child. Faces homicide charges and someone else's. So, June 22nd, 2010. 10. What year is it right now?
That was when I got an iPod Touch. Fourth generation.
Shit.
Yeah.
So June 22nd, 2010, Tightsort's boyfriend and father of her children files a child abuse injunction and restraining order against her, alleging she was using drugs and abusing her one-year-old son. Uh-huh. Her boyfriend accused Tightsort of leaving him in a hot car on June 4th. The man stopped home during a break from work and found his son sitting in the car. When he tried to bring the child in to cool down, Tightsort would not let them into the house. He said that the child was red in the face and sweaty, and Tightsort slapped him in the face.
Oh, that's how you do it.
Yeah. And then about a week later, Tightsort left the house with their children in the middle of a rainstorm to go to a party. He was able to come get the children, but Tightsort wouldn't give him the boy's formula or the food stamps.
Did we get the state they're in?
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin. Oh, I was saying a rainstorm. I was like, it's one of those fucking Florida lightning storms. No. It's real easy to assume this is Florida.
Yeah. So that was... What did I say? June 22nd, right?
Yeah.
June 30th.
What year?
2010.
Jesus fuck.
The judge grants the restraining order and child abuse injunction. As a condition of the abuse injunction, Tightsort is not allowed to possess a firearm. Court records, however, do not show any criminal abuse charges were filed in this case. Okay.
No.
Okay.
All right.
So let's move up to November 2013.
2013, remember 2013, folks? That's 3 years after Democrats didn't show up and let the Tea Party get in, and 2 years after Democrats didn't show up and let the people that were the second Tea Party get in. That was when, that Eric Cantor got beat. Yeah,
shit.
Remember that shit? Yeah, that was when the Democrats didn't show up to vote. The people who shame you for, vote shame you whether you vote or not. That, remember when they didn't show up in 2010 and 14? That's how long ago this was. This was 13. Blam.
Tightsort was charged in Oneida County with possession of drug paraphernalia. She would later plead no contest and be found guilty. January 1st.
Wait, you said found guilty?
Yep.
Found guilty, so she went to jail?
Yep.
But she has all her kids?
Yep.
Phoenix and William are fighting.
January 1st, 2014. Tightsort is charged in Langdale County with receiving and concealing stolen property worth at least $2,500 and bail jumping. She would later plead no contest and be found guilty of stolen property charges.
Just be stealing. 2014. That's back when you could hear Phoenix and William doing telephone audio shows for 3 fucking hours.
Woo.
And ending every episode listening to Richard Sherman yell at Skip. Say, I'm better at life than you.
Better at life than you. July 28th, 2014. Tightsort was charged with possession of a controlled substance, possession of an illegally obtained prescription, and bail jumping in Langlade County. Wait, so in July she got... Hold the fuck up. In January she got charged with bail jumping. In July she got charged with bail jumping again for the time that she got arrested in January.
2014. We were fucking 33 and, we were younger than we are now.
Yes.
I'm 35 now. I was 31.
Yes.
And that means you were 33.
Yes.
That's 2014.
The possession of an illegally controlled substance charge was dismissed, and she was found guilty by no contest of the other charges. August 1st, 2014.
Yeah.
Tightsort is caught operating a motor vehicle without a license. She later pleads guilty.
That's literally in between our birthdays.
Yes.
Like dead in the fucking goddamn.
So in 1 year, January bail jumping, stealing property, July same year possession of controlled substances, bail jumping, August 1st, a few fucking days later.
Can we three strikes this nigga?
Operating a motor vehicle without a license. All right. So that same year, September, 1 month later, because why the fuck not, September 24th, Tight Sword is charged with resisting a police officer and two counts of bail jumping. Weird that bail jumping keeps coming up and she keeps getting bail. Watch whiteness work.
Fucking Christ, man.
One of the bail jumping charges was dismissed and she was found guilty after pleading no contest to the two other charges.
You put your white foot in, you get your bail jump out. You put your white foot in and then you take another route. All right. Fucking Christ.
And then December 1st, 2014. Same
nigga.
Fucking year. Tight Sword charged with bail jumping. Once again, pleads no contest. Is found guilty.
Nigga, she wasn't even done. Like, the Thanksgiving Day leftovers are not finished yet. There's still something in the freezer.
Yeah. Oh, shit, I missed one. Hold on.
Oh, sure, hold on. You did.
September 24th, 2014. That was the resisting an officer, two counts of bail jumping.
Word.
November 13th, charged with obstructing an officer. December 1st, charged with bail jumping.
Is she just in between every holiday she has to break the law?
I don't know what is going on.
I can't celebrate anything. Shit.
So, like, November 13th, buying all the stuff for Thanksgiving dinner. The Thanksgiving dinner leftover's still here. I should probably get arrested again.
But police be harassing my ass.
August 28th, 2015. We've moved ahead almost
to that. Oh,
eight months. Like, 8 months. No shit happened for, like, 8 months.
All right. Probably she kept she it was casual. In jail.
She was in
2015, but then the Bernie Sanders campaign got up and running. She got a little excited. All right.
Tight Sword is charged with retail theft. Excuse me.
Ooh, hang in there. Salud.
Thank you. Tight Sword is charged with retail theft in the city of Antigo in Langlade County. Why should we doing all this shit in Langlade County? These niggas don't know who she is yet.
No.
Found guilty by a no contest plea. And please no contest every fucking time.
Just be like, yeah, I did that shit. That's what I do. Do you not know yet? Why you even ask me?
So, all right, that was 2015. We went all the way to 2017 without a thing.
Hey!
Okay, June 8th, 2017.
She was ready to make America great again. Let's do it.
Parents of a three-month-old boy told Wausau police their child had been injured while Tight Sword was babysitting him and his sister. The baby was taken to the emergency room with facial bruising and a fractured skull.
Jesus balls. How the fuck?
So I see we're back to the blunt force trauma thing. T-Sort Shit. Told police the infant's older sister tried to take the bottle away from T-Sort while she fed him, and the bottle struck the infant, which caused the injury.
She didn't think that one through.
What?
She didn't put a lot of, the not a lot of effort.
The baby bottle caused his head to be broken?
Baby bottles, it was hard plastic. It was plexiglass.
Police found that the baby's injuries were inconsistent with Tight Sword's story, but she was never charged.
For cracking a skull.
A fractured skull of a three-month-old baby.
A skull.
Yeah.
Not charged. She would have pled no contest. Charger.
Would have pled no contest. Wausau Police Detective Ben Graham said on Monday, like, now skipping forward, like, because now they're like, hey, we're going through this record. What the fuck was y'all niggas doing when this shit happened? He said, there is not enough probable cause to file charges in the case. He said,
probable cause? She probably been causing crimes for the past fucking decade.
He said it can be difficult for investigators to piece together the puzzle pieces in cases where infants are injured because the children cannot communicate what happened to them. His skull was broken. Broken.
Probable cause. She probably caused the crime rate to go up herself. She added to the percentage.
She did.
Fucking animal.
So that's why they're justifying now why they didn't charge her in 2017. So, 2018. August
That's
2nd.
Not even this year anymore.
Not even this year. August 2018. Parents of an 11-month-old girl went to Wausau Police after the daughter was injured while at Teeth Sword's home. Do none of y'all niggas run background checks on the babysitters?
Oh, wait. So now that's the one that we just did in the
story.
No,
it's not.
It's a different 11-year-old?
11-month-old.
11-month. Oh, fuck. I'm getting my 11s wrong. It's like that movie Life Stinks. My 11s are up.
Parents of an 11-month-old girl went to Wausau Police. Again, the same... Notice the shit keeps happening in the same county in the same fucking city. This is like the third time it's been some child abuse shit with Wausau Police.
Fucking consistency or something.
After their daughter was injured while the child was at Teet Sword's home at the Woodland Chalet Apartments in Wausau, the girl had injuries to her face. Wow, it's almost like babies keep getting their faces hurt in this woman's care. Tetzart told the parents and police the girl rolled off the couch onto the floor while napping.
Really? That's a far fall. Wait, how old?
11 months.
11? Wait, so even if, like, this, you did not hit him, and why the fuck are you just leaving the baby sleeping on an open-faced couch? And then, you know what? What kind of conditions are the people in that they're so desperate that you're the person they're leaving with? I can't imagine this is an upstanding domestic situation.
I'm sure it's not. So doctors said the girl's injuries were not consistent with the fall from the couch, but could not say for certain what caused them. The girl's father told police it looked like his daughter had been dragged across the floor. And it appears... it took until October. In October, there were child abuse charges filed against Tetzart stemming from the August incident with the 11-month-old girl. That was October 11th. October 18th.
Yes.
Oh. Okay, so the 11-month-old girl fell off the couch in August. October 11th, she gets charged. October 18th, before the trial starts, she kills this baby and then puts the snowsuit and the hat on him and says he's sleeping.
So while she's waiting to go to court, she killed another kid.
Yeah.
Holy fuck, yo.
This is... Mm-hmm.
They're in the span away of their state.
So yeah, so then of course, now, like, if you go back to she said, called the mom of the most recent child that she killed and said, there's a news story. That was the news story. I have court in a couple days because I just got arrested for, yeah.
So don't tell them I'm babysitting for you.
Uh-huh. October 19th, 2018, Tetzart was at the Plaza Hotel in Wausau, where she was arrested on the previously filed child abuse charges about the 2-month-old's death. Tetzart admitted to police that while the baby boy had died in her care, she did not kill him, but also made no efforts to resuscitate him or seek medical treatment. After realizing the baby had died, she dressed him in a snowsuit and hat, covered him with blankets, and put him in the car seat. When Tetzart's boyfriend returned home around 6:30 p.m., she did not tell him the infant had died. Which also, what is wrong with you that you're dating this woman? Like, what the fuck happened to you?
I think he's probably fucked up too.
He's gotta be.
I mean, not fucked up in like the way you're saying, like what happened to you, but like he's probably an asshole too. An asshole. I'm kind of reductionizing.
Yeah. No. Definitely. He has to be though. So when Tetzart's boyfriend returned home around 6:30 p.m., she did not tell him the infant had died. Tetzart brought the dead baby to McDonald's along with her boyfriend, their son, and the victim's brother.
And the victim's brother.
Yeah, because there was like, I think he was like 2 or 3, it said.
Yeah.
Yeah. After returning the baby and his brother to their mother, Tetzart, the boyfriend, and her son went swimming in a pool. October 22nd, Tetzart appeared in court on the child abuse charge. Which fucking one? I can't even keep track anymore.
The 11-month-old.
Marathon court judge issued a $250,000 cash bond and ordered her not to have contact with anyone under 18 and not to leave the county if she is able to post bond. She has not yet been charged yet in the two months old death and has not yet posted bond. January 4th of this year.
Holy fuck. Is she actually? Yo, this year has not been that long. It's the 10th.
Tetzart was charged with first-degree intentional homicide in this 2-month-old baby's death. An autopsy determined the infant died from multiple blunt force head wounds. He also had significant injuries to his tailbone. What the fuck?
What the fuck? Niggas don't even have their W-2s yet, and she's literally breaking asses this year.
A Marathon County judge issued a $500,000 cash bond and ordered Tetzart to have no contact with the victim's family. She is due back in court January 18th and faces life in prison if convicted.
She won't be, somehow. They're going to be like, I think she fucking learned the lesson.
This time.
Yeah, she's on point. Matter of fact, you know what? We're going to take all the money raised for the wall and open up her daycare.
Yeah.
And you know, all these folks would not have had to leave their offspring with her if capitalism wasn't keeping them the fuck at work. Right. If they didn't have some sort, or if you have to work, no real adequate maternity leave.
Also, I'm kind of creeped out. She's kind of like low-key smiling in her mugshot. Like smirking. I don't know how you want to say it. Like
Phoenix be saying low-key when shit is blatant. That is it's on winecellarmedia.com. You can see it. And and then go tweet at Phoenix Kalita, uppity negress, 2 P's, 2 T's, 2 S's, and tell her that's not low-key. That's a flat-out smile. She's fucking smiling. It's a closed mouth smile, so it looks smirky, but look at how much of her cheek she's folding over. That's how much she's pushing her joints up to smile, that she's making her cheeks fold over. That's a smile. That's glee. And I don't mean in a corny show where they sing some dorky songs. I mean glee as in happy white woman killing babies. Yeah, so folks need maternity leave.
Yes.
Folks need
affordable daycare. Because that's the thing. Because I even remember that when the kids were little. To get, like kinder care, you know?
Yeah.
Like the chain daycares. It was, oh shit. When oldest child, who was 18, when he was a baby, it was $225 a week. Which is like, if you're making 10 bucks an hour.
You're making 12, 13,
yeah.
15. You're not, it's too fucking
much. It's like half of your fucking paycheck. And then you still have to pay rent and groceries and diapers and medical bills. And
if capitalism didn't exist, nobody would have to deal with this shit. You know? Yeah. So somehow we'll flip this. It's a shit stack fucking triggering story, but it's another reason that fucking the system as is shit, because these people would not be leaving their offspring with this monster.
Right.
All right, goddammit. WineCellarMedia.com. Oh, preemptive correction. William assumed white woman and said white woman multiple times for the first story, and then Phoenix corrected him after the program. This is an edit in post. Look at me editing an episode. All right.
Okay. Because you all deserve it after hanging in for that last fucking story, let's do something a little bit more fun.
Yeah. If you're listening to the whole episode straightforward. Yeah. Remember, these go out as individual.
I just assume it's like, oh, just click next. But maybe some people aren't doing that.
Nah. Yeah. And this gives people more choice, right? Like, they can be like, they can actually see titles and be like, you know what? I'm not interested in, like, there might be some people that are like, I don't want the Becky Lives Matter stories. I don't care about those. You know, like, there might be people that, you know, so now they can skip that shit.
You know, so you think people deserve choices is what you're saying.
Fuck yeah. Mad choices, B.
So, all right, your choice is Florida woman or Florida woman?
Florida woman. Which one's spelled like that?
They're both spelled like that.
Woman.
Yeah.
There's one that has a H. Homan.
They both have an H.
Ma'am, you are fake newsing.
I'm not fake newsing. Okay, do you want the one that involves domestic issues or non-domestic issues?
Oh, man, non-domestic is better, man. They fucking, you let them loose in public.
All right, here.
What? You're making me do it.
Yep. Or do you want me to read it?
All right.
You're engineering. You want me to read it because you're engineering?
I can see. I've got them. All right, everyone's having a good time here.
Like, oh, see, I hope y'all know he did it again. He's skipping past the headline. He read the headline and then just made noises to keep scrolling fast because he doesn't want to read the headline.
The headline, they don't get to have that. They can't have that. All right, so this individual's name is, Y. Valande. All right, so Y. Valande.
Very French.
Yvelande Jean-Pierre, a 29-year-old individual. I wonder if there's people that do that now, like when
individual.
Yeah, because I've been doing that shit since I think I started doing that in 2015. Individual. All right, so this individual has smashed a window. All right. What? Mm-hmm. That's what the story says. Mm-hmm. And it was at the address of 2210 South Congress Avenue in the early hours of January 3rd, according to a report. What up?
What's that address to?
Huh?
Huh?
Buildings and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell? Synagogues or something, man.
Mm-hmm.
Jews.
Yeah, okay.
Where they put the three parentheses around someone's name.
Yes.
And it's like, and it's funny because every once in a while I still check out the Hatriot mail to David Pakman. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And whenever they're reading Hatriot mail and it has that around there, they put an echo on it. Mm-hmm. David Pakman. All right, fucking. All right, so yeah, so and this so they went to the building. She then took two ready-made chicken asparagus meals from the fridge and heated one of the meals in the microwave. White women love chicken. They break into buildings, steal someone else's chicken,
yes,
cast aspersions on their asparagus,
yes,
and throw it in the Mikey wave.
Yes.
Now, there's a quote from the police report that says, one of the meals appears to have been consumed inside the kitchen area as the asparagus was left on the counter next to the microwave. She then left the premises. End quote. Then, oh, so she didn't fuck with it. She's like, I don't want my pay smelling funny.
Yes.
I don't want pea asparagus. All right. So, a couple of fellas arrived at the building to see what's going on.
Really?
Yes, ma'am.
Are you just about to, we don't tell them what building it is.
Why? Why?
Because it sounds funny when you say they arrived there.
No, it doesn't. Ha! Get off from around him. all right. And a couple of fellas, they're overseers. Darren Hadarian and Greg Koch. Yes, it is spelled that way. K-O-C-H. They arrived at the scene at 8:30 a.m., to find that the window on the south side of the building was leading to the kitchen area and it done been broke-tified. And the so they believe that Ms. Jean-Pierre stood on two recycling bins in order to access the opening. That's a risk-taking motherfucker. Like, those lids could, like, not support you right, fall in.
Did we establish what she was breaking into yet? Because that's also a buildings, certain level, nigga, of risk-taking.
Niggas love buildings. Buildings love niggas. She's getting her Spider-Man on. Mm-hmm. Or you might have seen BoJack Horseman, the funky Spider-Man. Come on! Let's take a look here. So then, they got an agent involved in the case. Agent Andrew Bourbon.
Bourbon.
It's not spelled like that, but phonetically, that's just how you gotta say it.
Mm-hmm.
So, Agent Bourbon arrived at the scene and confirmed that the two meals were his meals because the building is a police station that this woman done broke it into and stole some motherfucking food. Now, the policy overseers were able to track down the suspect. That one's coming in mad hot.
Yeah.
That's that, it's a faux Dr. Dre joint.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're having fun. And so they were able to track down the suspect after a crime scene investigator, who is probably easy to access, Amanda Eichhorst, discovered a plastic shopping bag on top of the trash can in front of the station.
What?
Excuse?
No.
At first, the overseers thought the bag was garbage, but soon noticed it contained her fucking ID card. Jesus Christ. Ah, man.
Wait. So she said, looked at the buildings. That's the police station.
I'm gonna break in this motherfucker.
She climbed up recycling bins to break a window to get into the police station, went into the kitchen, took somebody's food, ate the meat, not the vegetables, left, but then left her ID at the scene.
This is the worst anti-PETA protest ever.
Florida is amazing.
Footage recorded by the station's CCTV cameras showed Ms. Jean-Pierre walking to the front door of the station around 1:25 in the a.m. and squeezing past a locket gate. So she did the whole squeezing in between.
Yes.
Stuff. Well, you gotta do that with your body. I hate doing that with my body because my body's bigger than it was last year and it's uncomfortable.
Looking like that nigga in the subway. Did you see that shit?
I think I did.
Like crawling on the stomach to get under the turnstile?
No, I did not see that. Never mind. I ain't see shit.
There's a video of some nigga crawling under the turnstile, but it's a little chubby. And so because, like, they can't really fit through, their pants are coming down. So by the time they get to the other side.
Oh, no. Oh, that's whack. See, and if it wasn't for capitalism,
you wouldn't like, have to do that.
Yeah, the public transportation would just be socialized and everybody could just get the fuck on. Let's take a look here with them colored fellas on down this motherfucker by take a foot. All right, now, 125 squeezing past the gate. She is then shown trying to open windows at the front of the station, but is unsuccessful. Fetching two recycling bins at the back of the building, she takes these to its south side. But around 2:21, she is seen climbing over the police station gate and heading south on South Congress Avenue. The police officers, they found the recycling bins depicted in the video underneath the broken window. Ms. Jean-Pierre is thought to have caused $300 worth of damage. On January 9th, the detectives arrested Ms. Jean-Pierre and charged her with burglary to an unoccupied structure, theft, and criminal mischief. Quote from doop-a-doop-a-doop-doop-doop. Oh, just from the department in general. A quote from the department in general. Her first mistake was breaking into our substation. End quote. And, and it continues. The second was eating Agent Bourbon's chicken and asparagus, although she's clearly not a fan of asparagus. Her third mistake was leaving her wallet and Florida ID behind. And all of that was in the quote. The not a fan of asparagus part was also in the quote.
Of course it was.
Now, I was wrong, because when I saw white woman breaking into the police station, I thought it was the other one that's making the rounds.
Oh, there's another one.
Yes.
Oh.
Oh, you. Oh, shit.
Damn.
Let's have a good time here.
All right.
Let's have a little fun. All right. This is a double story.
Double entendre.
It might be, Miss Ma'am. Mm-hmm. It might goddamn be. Yeah, because I fucking, I'm in this black group on the Facebooks called Black Studies and Critical Thinking. And somebody posted this story, and I just commented and said, this seems more like comic relief than studies and critical thinking. So you already know the premise, but it's a little different. which state is PA? Is that Pennsylvania?
Pennsylvania.
Okay.
Pennsylvania, 65,000.
So apparently there's a town called Wyoming in the state called Pennsylvania.
Y'all because, be unoriginal as fuck with names.
Yeah, Europeans are creative as shit. Think about how many Lakewoods are out there. Right there, like, what? To my knowledge, I know of three Orange counties.
Huh.
Yeah, California, Florida, and New Jersey. Yeah, so fucking, in Wyoming, the police fellers say a woman smashed her way, because white women smash things. White woman smashed her way into the closed Pennsylvania police station looking for an officer for reasons. You know, let's just say it. She's been sexually harassing this officer since he arrested her.
Oh, I thought you were going to do the dun-dun-dun.
For reasons. No, I can't find that clip. Not because I, you know, Frick Face that does drops.
Yeah.
There are drops of her going dun-dun-dun. Yeah, I can't find them.
Damn.
Yeah. They're on fucking a disc somewhere. And hopefully they're not one of the discs that I had to throw in the garbage at the airport. Yeah, you gotta hope and shit. So 27-year-old Ashley Keister of Nanticoke.
Keister, huh?
Keister and of Nanticoke. Used a large cigarette butt receptacle to smash glass doors into the West Wyoming Police Building around 12:45 in the a.m. Once inside, she started rummaging through filing cabinets. Okay? And, Fiesel, you might want to get this story up on the website so folks can see her mugshot.
Go there.
Her mugshot looks like the fucking dentist gave her the fucking Novocaine. Nigga. Nigga. One side is mad droopy. So the police chief, Curtis Nocera, sounds like some sort of deodorant brand, says that Ms. Keister has been under investigation for harassing an officer who arrested her last year. He says that she sent sexually harassing messages on social media and would call 911 just to talk to him.
What the hell?
The break-in was caught on surveillance cameras. Keister was charged with aggravated assault on the policy overseer, burglary and vandalism. A message was left with her public defender seeking comment. And And the nigga that posted this in that group really tried to argue with me that this was not comic relief, but let's see. Okay, let's look at it. So I left my comment. I said, seems more like comic relief than studies and critical thinking, because the name of the group is Black Studies and Critical Thinking.
Right.
Well, Mr. Everson disagrees with me and said, William J. Jackson, perhaps that is the way you see it, but this article serves as a reminder that when you are doing your job, you can be subjected to inappropriate behaviors by others. Women aren't the only ones who are stalked and harassed. It happens to men, too. Nothing is funny about being stalked and harassed.
It's a lot less malicious when you can arrest them. The fuck?
But there's a M-E in men, so that's the real me, too. And I responded briefly. I said, he was not in danger. Comic relief. And Robin responded and said, tell that to him. I don't think he found it funny. And I responded and said, oh, yes. I'll get in contact with him as soon as possible to conduct an interview for a stranger on the internet. Sarcasm. And then he just left a laughing reaction emoticon. G.
It's just weird that that's in the what group?
Black Studies and Critical Thinking.
Because, I mean, typically we make snide, sarcastic comments about, like, oh, police shot another black person, must have been scared, hiding behind the bulletproof vest and the dogs and the squad car and the taser and the nightstick and the pepper spray and the handgun and the shotgun and the badge and the co-workers and the ability to put people in jail. Yeah. Like, what the fuck was he scared of? Annoyed, maybe.
I'm going to title this one, White Women Breaking into Police Stations, ... Yes, plural. All right. WineCellarMedia.com. No. All right. And you're on, too.
I'm on, too.
Yeah.
Where the hell did one go?
Ma'am. You know it's two as in as well.
As well.
As well.
Fine.
Roswell.
También.
Yeah, that as well.
Yeah. Wait, I don't know what to cover. Do we want to cover something serious, newsy?
Ma'am.
What?
You've been doing this for too long to not just pick.
You know what? I have too many stories is my problem. I need to
Stop picking so many.
All right, so I guess we'll go to Arizona. Abortion laws.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Freedom. Come on.
Shit.
Don't Republicans run that state?
Yes.
Freedom, then.
Right.
There you go. You're free to breed. You're welcome, ladies.
You are very free to breed.
Come
as
on.
As much as you may not want to. So Tucson, abortion has long been a controversial topic, and a new law that went into effect in Arizona on January 1st is now adding even more to the conflict. Women seeking abortions now have to face a series of questions about their decision. Yay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
People are interested. People like babies.
Right.
You don't want people asking you about babies?
No.
Don't women love when people talk about their ovaries?
No.
Strangers?
No.
When you're required to?
No.
So you don't like required freedom?
No.
Fucking America haters.
Many oppose a new law, saying it's too intrusive. Senate Bill 1394 requires doctors to ask each patient a series of questions. Among them will be about the questions for the reason for wanting an abortion. Hi, yes, I would like to have an abortion. Please explain why.
You know what? But the thing is, you're just required to answer the questions, right? They're required to ask them, you're required to answer them, and then you get the abortion.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
So you can literally just say, because He-Man's not on the air anymore. Like, you can say whatever the fuck.
Because I can't beat Pac-Man?
Yeah, you say, because everybody's still hating on Vanilla Ice. I'm not bringing offspring into the world where people are hating on Vanilla Ice. I want him to come back and drop a new album, and I want it to sell the same amount the first album sold. And if that's not happening, I'm not breeding. What? You can say that. All right, if you are a pregnant person out there that wants an abortion and they ask you why, you can say, because I went on YouTube and I saw DMX singing Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, and I said, I will never be able to make offspring that can do something that dope. I don't want to compete. I'm out. Give me my abortion.
That's fun. So Planned Parenthood Advocates of Arizona Executive Director Jody Liggett says these questions can bring up trauma. This mostly is an attempt to intimidate patients from seeking abortion care and to make providing abortion care burdensome, said Liggett. The stated objective of the bill is to, quote, gather information. Look, that's apple pie. Nobody is against having it more or against having more or better information, but as we do in democracies, we have to draw a line somewhere around people's privacies, said Liggett. Liggett says there's a provision which allows women to refuse to answer why they're seeking an abortion, and they plan to let the patients know that up front. Though Planned Parenthood opposes the law, others support it. Elsa Medina, you fucking asshole, the executive director for the Tucson nonprofit Hands of Hope, says the law will help women. Let's say a pregnancy is a result of sexual violence or assault. Regardless of what a woman chooses for the pregnancy, we want to know that information, and abortion providers should know what that information is so they can provide additional support. Fun fact. If you tell them that you're pregnant because you got raped, they will automatically call the police and launch an investigation. So this is just a way to trip up women, actually. The bill requires doctors to ask patients if they were raped or are victims of domestic abuse, which also, because we know how well police handle domestic abuse situations.
Well, yeah. You see how well they hit their wives?
Rather well.
Yeah.
Rather
skill.
Often.
They practice on the Negroes.
They do. So it's like, so could you imagine? Because then they're required by law to provide resources to seek help. But that means, so if you're in an abusive situation that you can't get out of, but you know you don't want to have a child in the situation, if you tell them that's why you're getting an abortion, they're going to involve authorities. And now the guy or the partner who's abusing you knows you told on them. Welcome going home. And you got an abortion. Welcome going home to that. It's almost like it's not actually about protecting pregnant people.
I already told you it was about freedom.
Right, it's about freedom.
In the beginning, did a cis hetero male not say it's about freedom?
This asshole Medina continues, as a sexual assault survivor personally, I think it would have been wonderful to have my medical provider talk to me about resources that could have been available to me. So I'm surprised why anyone would be opposed to gathering more information. I don't know, sex workers who aren't supposed to be sex workers because it's illegal and get pregnant while working? Maybe they should not tell anyone the circumstances of how that happened. People who get raped by cops at traffic stops, maybe they should not tell anyone the circumstances of how that happened. People who are in abusive relationships, maybe they should not tell anyone the circumstances of how that happened, because it could be bad.
Yeah, see, I'm telling you. So, they want to gather information? Fuck up their information. Tell them because fucking strawberry and cherry taste the same, and I'm tired of calling them both red, and I'm not bringing a child into this world where I have to call them both red.
They should use this to make a political statement, like everybody just says climate change.
Ooh, that's far more constructive than the shit I was saying. I'm saying bullshit. Yo, now you're on to something.
Yeah, if you're in Arizona and you can, and you are getting an abortion, climate change.
Now, I think that if somebody has like a certain level of voice, right? Like, like a certain level of platform that they've garnered themselves, they should boost this story and boost that idea, like that Phoenix Leaders Deliverance saying climate change. So like, say you have like recently got 10,000 followers on Twitter, maybe you should make a Twitter thread about this story and say that the women being asked should say that. Like, what do you think? Someone should do that, huh?
You're not slick.
No, nigga, I'm smooth. I know that about myself already.
You're not smooth, ma'am. You fucking ashy. I see you over there.
Nuh-uh. I have beard hairs going into my ears. Okay? Millennial life. That's something that tangent. Yeah, fucking on the way home from work. We're getting home from work, and I keep messing with my ear because I'm like, what's a fucking cat hair on me? It's like, what is that? And then I was like, Finn's, look. And then she looked, and she was like, one of your beard hairs is so long, it's curling into your ear. It's like, oh my God, nigga. I have a gray beard hair down bottom, and I have basically, I don't even consider that a beard hair. That's like a really long ball hair, all right? Because I have those. And like, because I wear boxer briefs, they're essentially like ironed out. So like, yeah, I just have like these fucking like long ball hairs. And yeah, that's what I consider that beard hair to be. You probably didn't want to know that. And I already put one edit on this episode. I'm not doing two. So that's kind of how this episode's ending.
That's going.
Long ball hair. I have a really long, like one, just one really long nipple hair. What? Yeah, on the right side. And like when it breaks away, like it grows in the same spot. When it breaks away, it grows back. It's been like that since I was like 16. Like that same
that,
nipple
just
hair.
That one hair follicle is like extra overactive.
Yeah, it's just like, man, I gotta do it. It wants freedom.
It wants freedom.
Doesn't matter what you ask. So yeah, so Fetus Cleaver is going to make a thread about this on Twitter. Because she has 10,000 followers now.
Hey.
You're damn right, buddy. And we're going to keep fighting the good fight so that we can try to raise a unit of offspring to release into the world.
Yes.
And I'm going to keep these goggles that I took from work. Because they are a high quality pair of goggles. All right, WineCellarMedia.com, PayPal.me/PhoenixAndWilliam, Patreon.com/WineCellarMediaFund. Please be as safe as possible wherever you are.
You know Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen, Comet and Cupid and Donner and Blitzen, but do you recall the most famous reindeer of all? Come on! Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny nose, boom! And if you ever saw him, you would even say it close. Come on! Come on! All of the other reindeer used to laugh and call him names. Never let poor Rudolph join any reindeer games. Then one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa came to say, come on, Rudolph, with your nose so bright, won't you ride my sleigh tonight? Then all the reindeers loved him, and they shouted out,